So the gospel lesson that I just read, was it at all familiar to you? You've heard it. Have you heard it recently?
Yes.
When have we? Do you recall when we last heard that? What's that? It was 4 weeks ago. We had the exact same gospel lesson. So close. I mean, last week was, you know, Christmas. We had lessons and carols. Yeah, exactly right. John the Baptist came to visit on that day here at the 9 o'clock service. So there was a lot of things going on. But as a preacher, when you have the same gospel after 4 weeks, it's like, what are you thinking about? What are you thinking about? This is, we need a little bit of variety here. So it was assigned for the season of Advent, because Advent is the season when John the Baptist is a major character proclaiming the future. For proclaiming about Jesus and this what's coming ahead of us. And it's assigned for today, because this is the day in which we celebrate Jesus' baptism. And this year, we are in another confusing thing is that this is the year of the calendar, lectionary year, in which we are reading from the Gospel of Mark, and Mark is short, so we have to get, we have to maybe reuse some stuff. But the whole thing is that we have this passage of Scripture that I preached on last week, so I'm gonna sit down. Is that okay with you all? You remember it, of course. Candy and Bob, you're recalling that this gospel lesson just happened. But we had a baptism at our 9 o'clock service this morning, and it was a glorious day, it's always wonderful when you have baptisms here at St. Patrick's. But could anybody give me a definition of the word baptism? Definition of the word baptism. No one. Any ideas about the definition of the word baptism? A way into the faith, is that what you said? Yeah, so a way into the faith. All right, so that is a general understanding of baptism, is that it's an initiation rite into Christianity. That's the way we have come to know what the word baptism means and how we practice it today. And for many years it was, oh, well, if you're not baptized, then your future location and some future long date was in jeopardy. Is that correct? So baptism had that feeling about it. But I don't really feel that that's what the baptism is about when we're hearing about it in the Gospels. And when Jesus was going to be baptized, baptism, I think, is two-parted. First of all, we hear about in the Gospel lesson, we hear how Jesus was being baptized, and God broke through the heavens and entered into this space and said, Jesus is my son, my child. And as we are baptized, we remember that God is with us and is calling us God's child as well. That's one really key important piece of baptism. The second part of baptism is that we are making promises to live a different type of life. Whether it's for an infant, we are making promises to raise them up in a certain way. Or if you're an adult, it's you're making a commitment on your own to make this transformative life difference in the way you're living every day. Now, we celebrate it every year on the first Sunday after the Epiphany, and yesterday was the day of Epiphany. So we are celebrating it this day. And if you remember the story of Epiphany, the key characters are the wise men, as they have come from the east, from afar, and they have made their way to Jesus, and they present their gifts. And when they arrive in the country, they go and ask Herod for permission to go into the space. And there is, at that point, you had to, it was kind of like going to the, taking your visa and your passport over to the correct authorities. And we think of that as being kind of normal. It's normative that we would, be traveling all over the world, skipping off to England or skipping off to Africa or, doing all of these things. That's kind of it's kind of normal. And having lots of different nationalities coming into this city of Washington is normal. But back then, you always worried when the foreigners were coming in. You worried because we didn't know what they were bringing along with them, whether it was disease, or whether it was war, or whether it was attempts to steal something from you. That was the general idea of foreigners. But these wise men from the east came, and they came to celebrate Jesus, and they weren't wanting to take things away. They were bringing something to Jesus. They were bringing a gift. Now, I say that long ago, it was, you know, people thought that the foreigners were bringing evilness or bringing bad things. But that's really about human nature, too. Human nature, when we see people who are not like us, we clump them into categories and say, oh, well, that's those people, or those people over there. Has anybody seen the television show Lost? A couple people, a few people. You did. Okay, back here there's some. The choir is has much more representation here. So maybe I'll turn this way for a second. But Lost is, just to, you know, give you a little summary of Lost. Lost is kind of like Gilligan's Island, except it's not a comedy, and it lasts an hour, and it doesn't involve a boat. It involves a plane. But otherwise, it's exactly the same. Bob Denver's not in it, but you had the plane that over, you know, someplace in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, it crashes, and the survivors are, you know, trying to figure out how to figure out what the island is, but it's in some kind of a mysterious zone where the people who are on the planes can't find them, and they can't notify the people outside. So all of the episodes are about how they're trying to figure out the secrets of the island and trying to figure out how they can get off of it and get back to their land. But I bring this up because in the show, there are these people who are already living on the island, but they're behind a security fence, and they have, you can't really get to them, and they kind of look like Americans, but the people call them the Others. Their label, that's what their label is. They're called the Others. And we do that a lot. We like to point out these different groups, and we like to, oh, well, those are these other people. Or this is this group. And they're not like us. That's the way we live our lives, as we think about it in those ways. Is that true about Lost?
Yes.
Just like Gilligan's, right? Yeah. So, that's the whole idea of this, of human nature, is that we like to be in our little group, and we don't want other people to join us, because when we do that, it breaks up our, what makes us happy, what makes us comfortable, it's risky to think about having other people in our lives. Epiphany is about how we need to break out of that, and we need to think about how we need to take the light out, not only to the people that are in our group. We need to go out and do things that are going to change the world around us. We need to go out and make a difference in the world. We need to go out to the people who aren't like us. We need to take a risk and go engage with them. That's what Epiphany is about, and that's what baptism is about, and that is why it's celebrated on this first Sunday after the Epiphany. Baptism is about God entering our lives and being reminded that God is in our lives. But baptism is also about how we need to take the light out into the world to do things that are going to make a difference in the people that we encounter every single day. Now, we had a baptism here just a couple of minutes ago, and each one of those baptisms is marked by promises about what we're going to be doing as a result of the baptism. There's five of them. Thankfully, I wrote them down. Actually, they're in your prayer book. They say, to continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in the prayers. That's what we're doing right now. We gather on a regular basis and remember the core ideas of what it means to be a Christian. We break bread together around this altar, and we share this meal. The second thing is to persevere in resisting evil, and whenever you fall into sin, repent and return to the Lord. That's, since we all make mistakes in our lives, that is about how we make amends for that. Whether it's seeking forgiveness from our neighbors, seeking our forgiveness from God, it's about being reconnected with community. That's a really important part of being in baptism. The third is to proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ. That means talking about our faith amongst other people, sharing it with people that are outside of our normal group, outside of the people of St. Patrick's. The fourth is to seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself. That's promise that's asking us to go out and do the work that's going to make a difference in the world to somebody who needs it. The people on the street corner, the people who don't have food to eat, people that need us for whatever other reason there is. And there are many, many reasons in which they might need us. And the fifth is to strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being. That's something that goes down here in the heart. It's about how you live your life and how you respond to people. How do you respond to people that don't look like you? Those people who aren't from the same place. Respecting them for who they are. All of these things are key to baptism, and they are key to how we live in baptism. And that's why we celebrate it here in this season of Epiphany, because it's about taking it out of this place, to go to the far corners of the world, to make a difference in everything that you do. So, this lesson from the Gospel of Mark, I'm trying it again. I have to go back to see what I said 4 weeks ago. But this is about how we need to change our lives through baptism to make a difference in the world around us. You all have that power. You all have that calling. You are the ones to do this work in the world. Amen.